What a beautiful spirit in the house of God this evening. I'm thankful to be alive and I'm thankful to be saved. Amen. I looked over at Brother Cisco. I said, my, we've got the crowd tonight. This is a great crowd in here. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise being in church on Sunday night. There's no place I'd rather be but in the house of God on a Sunday night. Don't catch me anywhere else. I want to be here. Amen. Well, it looks like I'm actually going to preach for a change. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Y'all are blessed because I am not in love with my voice. I will say what I need to say and get out of the way and let God do what He needs to do. I am appreciative in this revival because there's churches that I go where we pray a bunch of folks through, and you come back the next service and you can't find anybody that you prayed through. But as I scan the crowd, I'm seeing people that we prayed through in this revival, and they're here. So that tells me somebody's doing a good job of following up. Amen. Acts chapter 10 this evening in verse number 1. Y'all's pastor was my evangelist this morning, and he hit it out of the park in Edna. He hit it out of the park and told us like it was. That's what I appreciate about Brother Bourne. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Look at that verse with me. He prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into unto him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, was departed, he called household servants, and a devout soldier of them waited on him continually. Skip down now to verse number 11. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and all wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God cleanse, that call not thou common. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this house. Lord, we release a miraculous demonstration in this service here in the next few moments. We release your anointing, God, in this house to break every yoke. I bind every evil influence. I bind every spirit and every stronghold and principality that has tried to come in this service tonight and put a hindrance on what you want to do, God. Lord, we release you to walk up and down these corridors. Lord, touch someone in body and spirit. Touch someone's mind. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, folks. Lord, move in this house with an outstretched hand. Ha! I feel the gift of miracles in this house, folks. Somebody's going to walk out of here with a miracle in this service. And somebody could say, Brother Leva, what? Don't you say that every service? Yes, I do. Because I expect somebody to walk out of here greater than what they came in with. Hallelujah. You can be seated. If I look like I'm standing around because I got to go, like looks like I got to go to the bathroom, it's not. It's because I feel faith in here, and the faith of God and the faith of the people in here. Something is moving. Something is just stirring in my spirit. I want to talk to you for just a few short minutes, and we're going to let God do what he wants to do in this service. That is my every goal and intention of every service, is to go in, build faith, and then change the order of service and let God do what he wants to do. God can do so much more in just 30 seconds than me up here screaming at you for the next 30 minutes. I just want to get out of the way and let God have his way. Amen. I want to preach for just a little while on the subject matter, activating the miraculous. Activating the miraculous. There is a realm of the miraculous that a church, that the church of God, the tongue-talking, aisle-running, devil-chasing, baptized in his name, Jesus' name church. There is a realm of the miraculous that the church has access to in the last days. But sadly, I'm here to report, now I'm not trying to be downtrodden or anything, but I am here to report that there is sometimes that we as the church, we don't step into a realm of the miraculous, and we settle for a place of the mundane. We settle for the place of, yeah, we had just good church. Folks, we need to get to the place where we not only do we have good church, but we have great church. You know, there's a fine line between good and great, and I'd like to fall on the side of great church. We need to walk out of here on Sunday night and somebody call us and say, what kind of church did you have over there at 4400 Fulton? My God, we had great church. Somebody got out of a wheelchair, blinded eyes were open, the deaf was here. We had 20 people we had 20 people get the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. God's doing a great work. Hallelujah. If you were to be studious of your Bible, you would see in the Gospels, in the Synoptic, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you were to look in the book of Acts, most of the time, if there was something miraculous that took place, it was due to the fact that either somebody had a need, or number two, somebody responded to the words of the master. Oftentimes, I've even seen it where there was an act that had to take place on the part of the individual for God to respond to their need. The woman with the issue of blood, number one. The demoniac of Gadara, number two. You know, the devil, 10,000 legions of devils, 10,000 devils couldn't even stop the man from running and bowing at Jesus' feet. Even in the middle of the darkest night, he was still able to run and get down at his feet and say, help me, Lord, I need you right now. Folks, if I needed God, there wouldn't be any kind of a hindrance that would stop me from raising my hands or clapping or stomping my feet. I would get to where he is and I'd worship him with all that I've got. But I want to talk a little bit about how to activate the miraculous in your life, or to activate the miraculous in a church service, or activate the miraculous on the job, activating the miraculous wherever that you go. Folks, if you haven't caught the news flash, the church that you're sitting in, the church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost, guess where it started at? It wasn't in a church service, and it wasn't in a song service. It wasn't at a family barbecue, and it sure wasn't at a community singing. The church that we're living in and living and being a part of was birthed in a prayer meeting. To me, it was the most powerful prayer meeting that had ever happened on record. 120 people gathered in an upper room. They didn't go in there to play cards. They didn't go in there to twiddle their thumbs. They were under the instruction of God. They said, go there and tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They got in that room. They didn't go to talking. They didn't go to looking at each other's clothes. They said, let's get in there and let's get to praying. Let's get to tarrying until the Spirit comes. Folks, we got to get back to the place of what we used to do and what we used to be. All night prayer meetings, praying all hours of the morning, talking to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to mess your theology up just a little bit. These 5-minute microwave prayers. Ding. Bam, bam, bam. God don't work like that. I said it today at my church at Edna this morning teaching Sunday school. The way that you treat that, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you men in here, I'm going to give you a challenge. None of y'all is going to take me up on it, but I'm going to give it anyway. Some of you that don't have a prayer life, let me add a footnote. I want you to treat your spouse like you treat God according to your prayer life. If today, Brother Bourne's probably laughing at me because I said it this morning, if he's watching. If I left out of this service tonight and I went home and I didn't speak a word to Sister Leva, if I got up tomorrow morning, put my clothes on and ran out the door and I didn't talk to Sister Leva, if I got back tomorrow evening and I didn't even so much as even look at her or even speak, just say it, just kind of nod my head at her. Brother Jared Brokaw, I can promise you, by 7:30 tomorrow night, after treating her like that and not speaking to her or communicating with her, by 7:30 tomorrow evening, now if she's nice, it'll be in trash bags. But if she don't feel like being nice, you don't want to talk to me? I'll have drawers on one end of the yard, pajama pants on one section, socks on the other, and shoes in the road with the trucks passing on them. So you don't want to talk to me, huh? Now y'all laughing, but do you know y'all treat God the same way? Folks, we got to get back to square one and back doing what works. And that what I'm talking about is prayer. And activating things in our prayer time and in our prayer life. You know, I understand people have schedules, and I understand people have jobs, and I know you got kids. Look at me, I got 4 of them. I wish I could have more, but I can't. I know you got kids and you got lives, and but folks, you got to make time to pray and talk to God. I'm going to tell you how to activate the miraculous. There's something powerful here in this story with Cornelius. The most important point to his life today is to note here with me this evening. Cornelius was a centurion that was in charge of a squadron of Roman soldiers. The key to Cornelius is that Cornelius was hungry for a touch from God. The Bible said that Cornelius prayed to God always. And when God finally heard them, when God acknowledged him, he said, "Your prayers have come up as a memorial unto me." Folks, every time Cornelius went to prayer, it was another brick in the wall. I'm telling you right now, it may not seem like my prayers are not even reaching the ceiling. I can't feel nothing. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if God's listening. Folks, you got to keep right on digging when you feel like that. I remember it wasn't that long ago. I think it was about a year ago. We went to the San Jacinto Monument out there y'all know where it's at. Y'all Texans, you better know where it's at. If you don't, you need to get out of Texas. You don't belong to be. You don't deserve to be here. I'm an adopted Texan, and I know what all that's about. That's when General Santa Anna came over here, and everybody took a nap, and we won. They all took a nap, made sandwiches. Everybody else got ready to fight, and we won the battle. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I remember standing on the steps of that thing, looking up at how tall it was. And then it dawned on me. I told my wife when I got in the car, every time it was like looking at Cornelius' memorial for just a minute. Every time the man went to prayer, now take in mind, he's not a Jew. He's a convert. He's a Gentile. He's not even, you couldn't even call the man a convert yet. But he was observing a Jewish ritual, something that he didn't have to do. Folks, I don't have to pray, but I want to pray. Nobody's gonna put a gun to my head and make me pray. But you know what? When I get up in the morning, I've got to raise my voice and say, "Lord, I thank you for giving me another day on this earth. God, I thank you for all that you've done for me."
I was staring at that monument, and I thought to myself that day, every time Cornelius went to prayer, Brother Cisco, one brick went up, and another one went up, and another one went up. And just like this monument, God said, Cornelius, he said, I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries. Thy prayers have come up as a memorial unto me. Folks, it may not be tonight's prayer that mama gets saved, but it may be tomorrow's prayer when she does. Oh, you ain't hearing me right now. Just because you prayed about it last week don't mean that it's not going to happen this week. And if it doesn't happen this week, then folks, you need to get to stacking bricks and calling on God. And you know what the key to this was? The Bible said he prayed to God always. He never stopped. He observed a ritual that wasn't even for him. He'd done something that was out of his comfort zone. I don't know if the man was married. He probably was married, had kids. But I can only imagine what the conversation was. Daddy, where are you going now? I'm going to pray. Well, we don't have to pray. Yeah, but I'm going anyway. Folks, you need to get to the place where your children hear you speaking in tongues. Folks, you need to get to the place where your grandchildren hear you praying. Don't let the cares of this life choke you out from praying to God. Because every time you go to prayer, there's another brick getting stacked up. Every time you go to prayer, there's a memorial going up where God's Bahashahata. Some of y'all don't realize I'm looking at a group full in this room right now that's got memorials that are just being stacked up. Some of y'all's memorials are higher than the other. Some of y'all need to get the bricks back in your hand and get to working again and get to praying again and get to calling on God again. Folks, there is something about a needful prayer. And when I say needful, I'm not talking about, Lord, I need $1 million. Even though I'd take it if he wanted to give it to me. If somebody feels led in their heart to write me $1 million check tonight, by all means, it's going to go to a good cause. Brother Bourne, I'll give you half. I believe in giving a cut. But there is something about a needful prayer that will activate the miraculous with God. There is something about a desperate crying out to God prayer that God will incline his ear and turn his attention to. It's something about a needful prayer that will arrest the attention of God, where God will stop what he's doing. Lean over and say, you know what? His prayer, her prayers have come up as a memorial unto me. These bricks have been stacked one on top of the other for the last 20 years. It's time now. So come on, it's time. Send some angels down. It's time to make this happen. It's time for this to go on for them. I want one person in here to raise your hand if you prayed for something longer than 10 years and it finally happened. Look at that. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many of y'all prayed for something? Got 9 back there. Got 10 back there. Got 11. How old are you? You older than 10 years old? You two? What you praying for? Me to get the Holy Ghost? How you been something 10 years? You been in church 10 years. We'll talk about this after church. There is something about a needful prayer that when you get your focus in and zoned in on God, and you tune out every voice of this world, and you tune out every distraction, and you just tell folks, y'all leave me alone, I'm going to pray. I've got to get a hold of God. I've got to touch God right now. Something about that prayer will stop God right where he is. You know, God is a God of perpetual motion. He's always moving. There's something always going on. But I'm telling you now, when there's somebody that raises their voice that's full of the Holy Ghost, that is a needful prayer, something that's got to happen. When you just tell God, I need you right now, and I got to have it. I need an answer, and I need you to move right now, God. Why Why do you think I get somebody to lift their hands right before I pray for them? Because when I lift my hands, I'm giving God permission to touch me. When I lift my hands, I'm in total submission of what God wants. I'm in total submission, and I'm ready to whatever God wants, whatever God has for me, because it gives him permission to step in and do what he needs to do. Oh, hallelujah. I could stop right here and say, yeah, bless God, Cornelius. Woo, man. But folks, what stemmed from this man's prayer was something so powerful. There were no Gentile converts prior to Cornelius praying. You could say, someone could challenge me tonight on that and say, what about the eunuch with Philip? But you know what? The eunuch was a proselyted Jew. Others before him had, and even others that got the Holy Ghost before Cornelius, had some kind of attachment to the Jews. But Cornelius was chosen as a vessel. That's why I appreciate what you said at the end about bringing the coming of the Lord. Cornelius was chosen as a vessel. Every day the man went to prayer, he thought he was praying for himself. But folks, when Cornelius went to prayer, there was something brewing from thousands of years. All the Gentile prophecies, all the prophecies from the Old Testament were just there in the waiting room. And every time, I feel the Holy Ghost, every time that Cornelius went to prayer, there was something miraculous that started stirring up. Something started stirring from years ago. And God was sitting there saying, when he goes to prayer one more time, I'm going to bring the converts in. When he goes to prayer one more time, I'm going to bring the Gentiles in. Yeah. Yeah. What Cornelius didn't know was that he was activating the miraculous every time he opened his mouth and he started praying. What Cornelius didn't know was that every time he went to prayer, this started happening. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Every time Cornelius went to prayer, this started moving. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Every time Cornelius went to prayer, this started stirring. And he said, it's a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. And to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give unto thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Every time Cornelius went to prayer, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Every time he went to, are you getting bored yet? Every time he went to prayer, oh Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Every time the man went to prayer for the rising, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 1:11. His prayer activated something so powerful. His prayer was enacted. His prayer enacted something that was thousands of years in the making. Folks, I'm here to tell you right now at the sanctuary on this Sunday, July night, that tonight could be the very night where you lift your voice and you release something that's been days in the making. You release something. A devil or woman. The devil don't want me saying that. This night could be the very night that I open my lips, I open my heart, and I open my mouth, and something that's been sitting in God's waiting room that's just been stirring, tonight could be the very night that I walk in with the key. Open the door and unlock what God has behind door number one. He his prayer activated something so powerful. Something promised thousands and thousands of years ago. You see, God promised it, but it was going to take somebody to activate it. You know, I love it. Years ago, you know, folks, people get caught up, and I know I'm used like that, but people get caught up, and this one missed it, and this one said da-da-da-da-da, and it didn't happen just like, yeah, like it happened. And that one said this, and it didn't happen just like that, or it just didn't happen completely. What I want to ask some of these boneheads, though, I guess that's all right to say. I can come up with better adjectives if you'd like. What I want to ask some of these boneheads is the moment that the word of prophecy that God gave you, when it was spoken by faith, because things are spoken by faith and under the gift of faith, but when it was spoken and it connected with it, with your spirit, and you believed it, what did you do with it afterward? Because what people don't realize, that a lot of this stuff is conditional. God is basically spelling it out for you. If you behave, if you behave and you pay your tithes, I ain't the pastor here, so I can say that. If you do right by God with your finances, you act like you're supposed to act, then I'm going to do this, this, and this for you. But don't come here and tell me that you prophesy this, this, and this, and you living like a dog without a leash outside the church walls. Because God will take this, he'll pull the rug out from under you. And then I'm the one that's a false prophet. No, I ain't no false prophet. Go sit down somewhere. I'm not a false prophet. Tell the truth and tell really what you did. Folks, when the word is left from somebody, when the word of God is coming from Brother Paul, anybody that gives you a promise, or if you take a promise from the word of God itself, out of straight, out of the book, you better pray about this stuff and activate this stuff within your own spirit. Take it back to God and say, now, Lord, you promised this. I'm going to stack this up today as a memorial. I'm going to put another brick on top of this one. God, I'm like the woman that was after that judge. I'm going to keep reminding you every single day. You promised this. You said it. I want it, and I believe it. Not only did he activate something so powerful that was thousands of years in the making, he prayed so fervently. And I could promise you, Cornelius didn't go where he was praying at, whether he prayed on the housetop or in his closet or wherever he chose to get away to go pray. I can promise you, Cornelius wasn't standing there for 5 minutes. And with this, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. What's the rest of it? If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take, whatever how it goes. I think I seen that on a scary movie years ago. Somebody was saying that to keep one of them killers away. Y'all not supposed to be watching that. That's before I got in church. That was BC. That was before Christ. I don't watch that junk now. But it wasn't just some 5 minute, Lord, to thank you, bless my family, and go on. The man got alone. And he got to praying. And he got to talking to God. And something started stirring. Something started moving. Something started shaking. We got to get to the place, folks, where when we get down to pray, heaven is inclined its ear. We got to get to a place, folks, that when we start praying, hell gets put on notice and starts wondering what in the world is going on over there on 4400 Fulton Street. Do you know that we used to, key word, used to, when people were possessed of the devil, you know who they did? You know what people done? They looked up the first Pentecostal church they could find in the phone book, and they called the Pentecostal church. You know when somebody was on their deathbed? Guess what they done? They looked in the phone book and called the first Pentecostal church that they could find. Why? Because they knew that our prayers meant something. We were people that were known from the beginning of time that we were people of prayer. But I'm seeing it more and more in these last days that folks, you can't even get hardly. Go ahead and call a church barbecue and watch how many people show up. You got a table full of ribs. You literally got to get baseball bats to beat people to get them away from the table to keep them from taking plates home. Praise God. But call prayer meeting and see what happens. You get the same three little momos. I'm not offending momos in here. Because you know what? I'm standing here tonight because of the prayers of an elder saint in our church, a lady in our church that prayed. But you'll get the same three little momos, and you might get a couple of their husbands, and the other one might sit in the car. Maybe. But that's it. When what used to be, I could remember walking in prayer rooms when I was evangelizing. And some of these old churches that's been around 60, 70 years, I could remember walking in there and I hear people beating on the wall while they're praying. I hear people in the closets. I see people laying in the floor. I hear people speaking in tongues. I hear all kind of noises, groanings and mutterings that the Holy Ghost is doing through people. But you go to some of our churches now. I'm not trying to offend somebody, but I hear more praying coming out of the Baptist church than I do some of the Pentecostal churches I've walked in. Folks, we're not going to activate nothing doing that. We got to get down in prayer and start praying. Do you think that God is just going to invade this place with folks and souls and miracles and all kind of stuff if we don't do nothing on our part? Folks, there's a public service announcement this evening. There's no buffet line with God where we're just going to walk up and grab what we want. You're going to have to work if you're going to get something from God. If you want to see your family saved, you need to be calling their name every day. Come on, let's praise him for just 30 seconds. I feel the Lord in this house right now. Let's praise him for just 30 seconds. When he called on his name, he said, "Thy prayers have come up as a memorial right now. I heard your prayers, Cornelius. I'm going to save your family." Hallelujah. You can be seated. When Cornelius got into this mode of praying on this last day, when God said, "I've heard you. Your prayers have come up now as a landmark and a memorial unto me." While this is going on, there is someone that is across town on a housetop. And as he's on the housetop, there's a sheet that comes down from heaven. Cornelius's prayer activated a supernatural happening across town. God used Cornelius to give Peter the vision of the Gentiles coming into the church. That's what all these different animals meant in this vision that he saw. The Gentiles coming in. Why? Because of one man's prayer. He activated something miraculous. Folks, you don't realize what goes on in the spirit world when you began to pray and you began to talk to God and you began seeking God for direction. You began seeking God for people's salvation. You don't know what's going on in the spirit world when God has got his hands stretched out and he's beginning to reach out to people and he's starting to touch people right where they were. I remember where I was at. I think I was in Mississippi. Tupelo. I think that's where Elvis is from. Tupelo, yeah. I was in a revival there, Danny Robbins. I remember one night the Holy Ghost had begun to operate and move in the prophetic, and there was a man that was sitting in the back. And I walked over, and I don't know why, but the Lord just told me, said, "Tell him that his mama is in another country, and she's sick right now, but tell her I'm going to heal her. Tell him I'm going to heal her." And of course, we prayed the prayer of faith and just told the man that your mama's sick in another country. Yes, that's right. And I could tell he had a very heavy foreign accent. Well, I didn't ask the man what the rest of the story was. I just kind of went back preaching. As I was preaching, I heard the doors come flying open in the back. Pa-boom. He come in there. Sir, I have to tell you. I said, what? You scared me. What? I thought there was going to be another one of them. You said it. It didn't happen. Not that that has had happened often, but the couple few times that it has happened, I've had to straighten them out. He said, sir. He said, my mama. Yeah, what about her? He said, no, you don't understand. He said, my mama is in Nigeria right now. He said, it's 2:30 in the morning. He said, my mama had a disease. He said, my mama just called me during church. She said, son, I don't know what's going on over there where you are, but she said there was a bright light that walked in this room, and she said, I got out of bed and I'm not in pain anymore. She said, I'm healed, son. I don't know what's went on, but something's happened to me. Thousands of miles away from Tupelo, Mississippi. Why? As soon as the man stepped out in the aisle and threw his hands up, whew, go. That's a miracle right now for this gentleman. It's come up as a memorial to me. The man said, I've been praying for my mom. He told me that after service. He said, I've been praying for my mama to be healed. God heard the man's prayer. It was that time of the memorial. Folks, there are some of you in here that have been believing God. If you told some folks what you'd be believing for, they'd tell you to go get checked out by a head doctor. But I'm telling you right now, you don't stop believing what God said he's going to do. If he said your family's coming, then you need to keep believing for it. If he said your marriage is going to be restored, then you need to believe him for it. If he said your finances were going to be back in order, then you need to believe him for it, because your prayers have come up as a memorial. Boy, I feel something powerful. I feel some devils rattling loose in here. The Holy Ghost just coming on, something loosening in this house right now. Oh, come on, it's early. Come on, we're going to step into this right now. Something's moving, something's shaking. Lift your voice, lift your hands, activate the miraculous around you right now. That's what Jehovah, my God. I'm gonna tell you, I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps up here right now. I'm not into all this angel worship and all this other kind of stuff, but I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost just told me that the Lord has sent four ministering spirits into this service right now. Four angels have just walked into this service. There is a richness and a depth of an anointing in this house right now that somebody is going to get a prayer answered that you have been praying for a long time. There isn't a touch of the Holy Ghost. There's a touch of God in this service right now, where there's going to be a very tangible spirit of God that you are literally going to be able to reach out and touch. I'm telling you, in the next 30 seconds, a literal window of heaven is going to be opened out on this service right now. Ah! Hear my prayer, God. I lift my hands and I give you permission to touch me. Send ministering spirits into this service right now, God. Tell you something while you pray. 3.5 years, no rain. The prophet walked in and told Ahab, it's getting ready to rain. He said, you better get up because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Afterwards, Elijah, he went home and he twiddled his thumbs. No. You know what Elijah done? The Bible said he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. Just because I don't see rain clouds yet don't mean it's going to stop me from calling on God. Oh, hold on. I got my face between my knees. I'm calling, I'm praying, I'm asking God, servant, what do you see? There's nothing. Elijah gave up, threw in the towel, and said, let's go home and make sandwiches. Nah. You know what Elijah done? He put his face between his knees and said, go look one more time. Folks, I don't care if you've been praying it for the last 6 years and you still hadn't seen it yet. Put your face between your knees and say it just one more time. Pray it just one more time. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Folks, I'm not telling you that when it shows up, it's not going to be something that you thought it wasn't going to be, because it probably will be. But from something so small, the entire heavens turned black with rain. And folks, I'm telling you right now, in the next few minutes, I'm going to activate something in this service. We are going to activate the miraculous in this service. And by tomorrow morning, there's pain that you're not going to have in your body anymore like you used to. By tomorrow afternoon, there's phone calls that you're going to get. I'm coming back to church. I don't want to live like this anymore. By the end of the week, you got a raise on your job. By the end of the week, something, God has done something for me that I prayed about on Sunday night. Oh, I feel such a saturating spirit of God up here right now. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to grab one specific item that you have been praying about that you really need God to touch right now. One item. And when I, my God, look at the people in here. If y'all hadn't figured out by now, I am very different. My wife tells me that all the time. There's something wrong with you. I know, honey. I know. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, my God, that's going to happen. When I say go here in a minute, I want you to lift your hands and I want you to declare what it is that God needs to do. And I want you to declare it with desperation, because tonight it's going to come up as a memorial and God is going to move. Go!